This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into Kingdom Pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
This is Bill Mixon, a regular on Robbie's The Christian Car Guy radio show and occasionally a fill-in host for Kingdom Pursuits. A month ago, when Robbie informed me that he would be away this week for a Masculine Journey boot camp, the world felt a lot different than it does now. Tomorrow is Palm Sunday, which commemorates the entrance of Jesus to Jerusalem. This is the day we remember and celebrate the day Jesus entered into Jerusalem as Savior and King. As Jesus rode a donkey into town in Jerusalem, a large crowd gathered and laid palm branches and their cloaks across the road, giving Jesus a royal welcome. Hundreds of people shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" Before Jesus was arrested on Holy Thursday and his crucifixion, we celebrate this time. We're going through difficult times right now, but nothing like Jesus had to go through then. And there have been many times since then where our nation has gone through even more difficult times and came through it to the other side. Tomorrow marks the beginning of Holy Week, that final week of Lent. We celebrate this special time as a unity, a brotherhood, a family of Christian believers. And we need to look for ways to make a difference in God's plan and in the neighborhoods that we live in. Philippians 4:13 is a verse that's always come to mind in difficult times for me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present our requests to God, and the peace of Christ, which transcends all understanding, will guard our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You know, there are folks that are going through far more difficult times than those listening in the audience. And I know there's some of you out there that are blessed like me and my family, and we've got a regular check coming through this difficult times. And some of you out there don't have a regular check coming through this difficult time. And I want to say, it's not a time to be proud. It's a time to let those that we know in our church and in our small group and our family and our neighbors know that we're going through a difficult time. Let those folks be blessed in helping you. But there are also folks that are going through an unbelievably difficult time. They're homeless. And I have had the pleasure and the joy to meet some unbelievable folks that run a ministry in our area called City with Dwellings. And we've got Tracy Moore and Emily Norris on the phone joining us this morning. Tracy, are you there?
I am, Bill. Thank you.
And Emily, are you there?
I sure am.
See, my blood pressure came down just that quick. These are some folks that just absolutely thrill me. It just is amazing to watch what they do. And the other folks that they work with, like John and Mark and Leah and Lewis and Tom, since January 1st, it's a group in town that's tried to find a place for homeless that don't have a place to spend the night, to find a place to spend the night. We've got some wonderful programs in town, the Samaritan, the Bethesda Center, a number of churches that pitched in. And when the homeless couldn't find any place else to lay their head, they would come to a place, City with Dwellings, and this wonderful staff would get on the phone and they would find a place for somebody to go and be warm and safe and protected during the night. It's sort of like watching somebody put a great big jigsaw puzzle together with the backside up. It's just amazing to see how they were able to call around and in almost every instance find a place for those folks to lay their heads down. But we've got a new facility, a new building that does so much more. It allows folks that are homeless to come to one place and to be cared for and prayed for and loved on, and the different pieces and parts that are necessary to help them get back into the mainstream of society to figure those things out. And I would love for these ladies to share with you some of the things that City with Dwellings do. Tracy, what can you tell us?
Well, City with Dwellings was founded out of a faith community shared response about 7 years ago. So we still have those roots running very strong through the organization. And so our response is always coming from a place of how can we help and how can we help each person in an individual way reach the next step in their lives. So we do the overflow shelter December 1 to March 31, and then our community first center, as you mentioned, works with folks more one-on-one over a longer period of time, building relationships and accountability and shared trust. And helping folks articulate their goals and work towards those goals successfully. And when they take two steps forward and one step back, we're here to support and encourage them. One of the things that we have been struck with in the last month with the COVID pandemic is a sense of urgency around lowering the number of individuals in close contact with the shelters and preventing people from having to enter a shelter who have become recently homeless. So at some point I want to talk about the diversion work that one of our lead staff is doing, Lee Polberry, has been so successful just in this month. Diversion is an approach to working with folks that really gets to know them and their needs and maybe uncover ways to connect them with family or friends and maybe remove some obstacles that had broken those relationships. And we've been able to reconnect 12 individuals with family through a lot of conversation and a lot of work, getting to know folks and getting to know folks folks' families, and I'm happy to say we've sent folks home with the simple purchase of a bus ticket ranging from Asheville, North Carolina to Phoenix, Arizona, and have reunited them with family so they can safely shelter in place during this pandemic. So we just try to be an organization that listens and is responsive and is able to act in an individualized way that sets the stage for the most successful outcomes possible.
That's 12 people in what, the last 2 months?
No, the last 12 people since March 10th.
Wow. Yeah. I know we also are helping people get into permanent apartments, into permanent housing too. Can you share a story along those lines?
Well, yes, actually. And that's another piece of diversion work. A lot of times folks that are in homeless shelters are in a process that is helping them to get back into housing. They may have disability income or Social Security income, and the formula for those folks is that they pay 30% of their income, and we facilitate them moving into housing, appropriate housing. But what can happen is we can be waiting on an inspection. There can be an old power bill that will prevent them from having their electricity cut on. And you won't discover those things until you're in the midst of that transition.
Tracy, we're moving into a hard break, a commercial, and we'll get back to that in a minute. But when we come back, I'd like Emily to talk to us about some of the programs she's starting. But thank you, ladies, for being here. We will be back right after this break. Emily, I'd love for you to share a little bit about what you've got set up and hoping to get started once we get on the other side of this virus.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a Lutheran. I'm on my way to ordination here. So I've been a part of City with Dwelling through the overflow shelters mainly for the last 7 years. I was one of the ministers at Augsburg Lutheran, which is one of our host sites for the overflow. And just over the course of that time, I really discerned a call to starting a faith community with our neighbors that are experiencing homelessness. There are a lot of churches that are kind and gracious and love our neighbors. And at the same time, our neighbors, they don't always feel like they are leaders of those churches, but more so that they are guests to them. And so I've really discerned this call to create a worshiping community that looks like them. And so all of that was spinning up right as the coronavirus hit our world so hard. So we are we're really looking forward to getting on the other side of this so we can begin worshiping together. But in the meantime, one of our greatest ministries through this new faith community is mobile showers. So we have a mobile shower trailer that is here at City with Dwellings that is allowing our neighbors who otherwise would not have access to showers to be able to really focus on hygiene during this time. A big part of what we're doing, too, is just the ministry of presence and just being out in the parking lot as we are not able to open our doors in the ways that we had anticipated and intended. It really matters just being present. And being there for conversation and prayer and truly just being with our people and among them and not on the other side of them, if that makes sense.
You know, one thing that I had the pleasure to work with was Tuesdays and Thursdays, there's an opportunity for the homeless to come in and get coffee and a snack and to sit and talk and share. It was amazing to me, especially Lee. I just love watching how Lee can get somebody to open up and then help them accept the advice and assistance that's available there. The way that the staff and the volunteers work with the homeless in this facility is just amazing to me. Can you share some of the things that you've seen?
Yeah, I think what it boils down to is an authenticity in engaging in relationships. And that there's really a mutuality that's there, that we're community together, we belong to one another, and we're only going to be as strong as we are as this united front and how we built that as a collective whole. And I think that really speaks to the power of this organization and this community that's born. And it really is just about sitting down and hearing people's stories and holding them as sacred and just creating that space for them. And Lee has an incredible gift in that. She's earned the trust of our people. She absolutely opens her heart and her ears when she sits down, and when we're able to do that, we can hear truth between us. And when we know what we're actually working with, we're able to help move people into different areas, whether that's, you know, being reconnected with family or housing or addiction or whatever that is. But it starts with just this vulnerability and honesty that's between us. We focus on that on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and it happens around a cup of coffee and hot chocolate and cookies, and just creating an atmosphere of welcome where it's not conditional. People don't walk into this space because we expect something from them or because they expect something from us, but really it's just building this community that makes us better for each other and makes us better together.
What are some things that individuals and small groups and Sunday school classes and churches can do to help support a ministry like yours?
So one of the ways that that these groups can support, say, you know, we are always looking for volunteers to come down and to be a part of this community. We need people to share stories and to be story holders. In this weird season of the world, donations are greatly appreciated, both financial, which is hard to say, but also it's really needed, as Tracy talked about, all the diversion work that we're doing and trying to move people into different places. We need dollars to be able to help our neighbors. We also are, you know, with the mobile shower trailer, we are looking for soap and shampoo and hygiene products and, you know, underwear and socks and all of those things that just make us and remind us that we're human. We are handing out goodie bags as quickly as we get them in the building to people that are gathering in our parking lot that don't have other options for food. So goodie bags can include some form of protein that's easy to access, whether that be, you know, a can of beanie weenies, and a bottle of water. But those are some easy, I think, low-hanging fruit to get involved with if they physically want to drop something off. But like I said, donations can be made through citywithdwellings.org. But we're hopeful that we will be able to just grow our partnership base through this as well. And when we come out on the other side of that, that will result in people just coming and being with us and being a part of this community and volunteering their time. Because I can assure you that when you show up and you're here and hear the stories of our community, it is addicting. And I think that is something, I actually think that is how God speaks to our hearts, truly. You know, there's this sense of when we are the most in balance, when we're serving our neighbors, and there's this feeling that we get that you can't replicate outside of that. And so we keep doing it because we want to feel that connection to God and God's people. And so we invite you to come and be a part of that. And right now that looks a little different, but eventually it's relatable.
Now, I'm familiar with Holly House and Cornerstone and Winston-Salem Rescue Mission. And I know that over the years that the folks that have gotten in those programs and have made it through the end of the program, that they've been batting well over a 50% success rate. Now, they're all Bible-based, faith-based recovery programs, but it's amazed me over the last 15 years at the Samaritan that there are an awful lot of folks that end up homeless, that end up with absolutely nothing, that build their life back up and make it back into mainstream society. It always seemed to me that the first thing they needed to do was to discover some self-worth, that they needed to figure out a way to realize that God did not intend for them to end up where they were, and that if they could understand that God loved them and wants good things for them, that they could latch hold of the help that's available. How much success have you seen with folks making it back into successful lives?
You know, quite honestly, I think that begins with recrafting the narrative that the world tells our community. I mean, the pervasive story that we hear is that our people experiencing homelessness are not worthy of good things, that they are worthless if they would just get a job, if they, you know, there's a list of things. And so I think that one of our roles as City with Dwellings and this new church that is forming is to recast that and to say that there's no place for shame whatsoever, and that God does not see the things that the world sees in us. And I do think that there's a dignity piece that comes along with that, like you said. And that I think a lot of our people that we have seen, you know, on the other side of homelessness, in part is because community has reminded them who they are and to whom they belong and that they're part of something bigger. And so I think that's one of the most important things that we do as City with Dwellings and the faith community as well, is remind people that that's their starting point, that beloved is their starting point. And we actually just put this video together last week where we had our people that had gathered
read part of a Dan Richardson poem called Beloved is Where You Begin. Because as in this time in our world, it's just saying that you are on the outside, and it feels even more obvious right now that we're seeing something entirely different. And so, you know, success is hard to measure because there are success looks different for others. So while I think our ideal is that we house people and that they reintegrate back into the rhythm of society, for some people, that's never going to be the reality, but success looks like being connected to them and checking in on them. And so there's really not a bar for what that looks like, but I think the bar is exactly come around them in a way that facilitates community and holds us each accountable to each other in this mutual respect and love.
Well, I don't think Christ tells us that we've got to see success to feel like we've done what we were supposed to do. The important thing from what I read is that we make an effort to show the love of Christ to those that are around us that need it. And there are lots of groups out there that would like to make a difference if they only knew how. I always found that if you could get folks to pray for something and that you got that on their radar screen, that through that prayer and that attention and them checking in on how success is working, that they'll feel a call from Christ to get more involved. So one thing I would encourage everyone out there to do is to pray for the homeless and to look for opportunities in your community to make a difference in the lives of those that you know that Jesus wants you to make a difference for. We'll be back in just a moment, but I'd like you to think about in your community where you could make a difference in the homeless population. And if you're in the Winston area, I'd like you to look up citywithdwellings.org and see what it looks like. Tracy, I'd love to understand how you ended up chair of this organization, survived that, and now you're working on grants. How did you get involved in City with Dwellings?
I was asked by a pastor at my church. I'm at a church really close by, St. Mary United Methodist, to come in and sort of help add some organizational development skills to what at that time in 2015 was a grassroots effort focused solely on what you opened with, taking folks in the dead of winter that had no place to go and providing them with shelter at four different church locations in the area. And so just through a lot of conversation and listening and observing the work that was happening outside of Overflow, by volunteers at the time, likely Tolberry and Emily, Russ May, Danielle Lampier, just a number of individuals in our different faith communities, just staying connected to the individuals they were meeting each night at Overflow and building relationships and investing their time and listening, and then helping in little ways these individuals who we were sheltering break through some barriers that were preventing them from getting to their next step towards housing or towards better health or towards wholeness in terms of overcoming addiction. It was really inspiring. And then we took the next step, and I helped facilitate getting a 501c3 nonprofit status. And we were homeless for a while, and we were gifted some space by St. Mary's Church to start a pilot day operation. And so we did that for about 2 years through that offer and an extension of grace of faith. And then we took a big leap of faith about a year ago and signed a lease here on Spring Street with the dream of opening up a day space where we would connect with folks, where we would be in relationship, help folks reach their articulated goals. We provide mail for about 300 individuals in the community, because if you don't have an address to receive mail, you can't get started. If you don't have an ID or your birth certificate and you have nowhere to mail it, you're stuck. So some of those very basic foundational things that most of us take for granted in life, we're able to provide here, like mail, like a phone. That's one thing that's been really eye-opening during the pandemic, is individuals will come to our door, and we are very limited in our ability to let folks in. We don't let in more than a couple, three people at a time. But have provided a tent outside for shade and shelter from the rain. But folks will just need to call a healthcare provider. Folks will need a phone to get a prescription renewed. It's very humbling to listen to some of these basic needs that I certainly take for granted, and I'm so blessed to be able to enjoy every day, but to be able to provide a phone or a phone call for a prescription to be refilled is often a major accomplishment for someone who's homeless and doesn't have a phone. So we're there for those foundational basic things, and oftentimes that opening that door to that need is an open door to learning more about the person, being in relationship with them, and helping them articulate what they need to get to the next place they need to be in their lives.
Can you think of a success story that pops into mind? That I know that we had one lady that one of the hospitals escorted out, gave her a machine, the oxygen machine that was half charged, and put her in a cab to come over. That Lee then had to figure out how in the world to take care of her, but was able to. Can you think of a couple success stories you'd like to share with the listeners?
Well, yes. There's a woman who was struggling with addiction, and had several steps forward and then several setbacks. Who went through a program and was able to overcome her addiction and slowly stayed at one of our shelters. And then over a period of several months, was able to move into housing in an area somewhat close by, was able to get a part-time job, and would volunteer with us on Tuesday and Thursday morning. And she is still very active and involved, and has actually joined our board as a board member.
Wow.
Yes. And so we, and actually in our articles of incorporation and in our, I guess our board bylaws, we have stipulated in those bylaws that two members of our board need to have either experienced homelessness in the past or are currently experiencing homelessness. And so we have definitely filled one of those spots as a relatively new board. And those perspectives and that feedback and that voice around the table when the board is making decisions is critical for us to be able to stay in touch with why we're here and why we're called to be here. And she actually, this individual, is very involved and connected with Emily, and is leading and has helped leading the development of the dwelling. So that's a great story. And, you know, I almost had to remind myself that that's where this individual started, because she's just part of our community. And I see her as a board member and a leader in not only City with Dwellings, but the dwelling. So that's a great story. Emily might have one that she can recall that she'd like to share. And I know, Bill, you know many yourself. So
Emily, you got a particular story that comes to mind?
Yeah, there's one woman that I actually was very loosely connected to her for several years. And because I run the men's site, so I was a lot more connected to a lot of our male guests that would stay with us. But somehow I just got connected with her, and there was one day that she showed up at my office and was just in complete tears. And she said, "I can't go in your office because if I do, God will burn this place down." And I said, "I don't know that God at all." And I said, "Come on." So she came in and we sat down and we talked for a good hour or so. And she was really just at her low. And before, we sat together and we prayed together. And before she left, I just felt this pull on my own heart that I had a book that was about just conquering fear and faithful living that I had sitting on a table by my door. And I thought, I just need to give this to her. But what was really incredible about it is that women in our congregation had signed the pages of this book and written words of inspiration and hope all throughout the pages of it. And so I gave this book to her, and I said, "I haven't even fully read this yet, but I think you need to have it." And so I gave it to her, and she left, and I didn't see her for quite a while. And then a few weeks later, I got a message from her that she had made it down to South Carolina and was in a recovery house and was doing really well. And I was really grateful for that. And she showed back up about 6 months after that.
We're about to a hard break. I'm going to have you finish this wonderful story when we get back. We'll thank everybody for tuning in. We want you to pray for our city's homeless. And stay tuned. We've got a little bit more to share with you. Emily, is there anything you'd like to add to your story?
Yeah. So, after she had left and she had gone to this treatment facility, she came back a few weeks later. I mean, I pulled into the parking lot. She was there when I pulled in, and she came up to me and she said, "I need you to know," she said, that book changed my life. And I said, "It did." And she said, "Yeah, when I didn't feel like I was worthy, the voices of these women reminded me that I am." And it was just incredibly powerful experience. But the final thing that she said to me, she said, "That day when you prayed with me, you reminded me and you said that God loved me," she said, "and I didn't believe it at all." And she said, "I think I believe it a little bit now." And I said to her, "That's all you need. You just need a little bit," right? And so it's, and she is now, she's now housed, and she is now working full-time, and for the first time in 6 years, she was able to buy Christmas presents for her children. So resurrection is real, and I think that's incredibly important to say right now with everything in our world and with our neighbors that are experiencing so much, that resurrection is real and Christ is real, and that's something we can depend on, not just something that our God did, but it's something that's happening every single day.
You know, one of the reasons I got involved was when the Gideons go in and replace soiled, gently used Bibles in the hotels and other areas. We've got some that are in good enough shape to be used, and I've just had the best time passing out Bibles to the homeless coming through, and it's amazing how grateful and happy and supportive. In most cases, the homeless that I've met there have really looked after and taken care of all the other people that are homeless. Now, every once in a while, there's some exceptions and there's some incidences that break out. But as a whole, it is really a caring and loving community of people looking after each other, which is a little bit difficult to explain. It's a really neat place to spend some time. the other thing that really blows my mind is the quality, the staff that you've got helping you out there. They're some of the neatest people I've ever met. Would you like to share a little bit about John or Lewis or Tom? Or you really have some wonderful people helping you in your ministry.
Yeah, we have an incredible team. People that, you know, this is not work for them. This is not a job. It is something that is just a part of their heart.
They're calling.
And so they show up, and it's never a labor of love, right? It's always just from this pure place of wanting to serve. And, you know, I think you definitely named our people. John comes from 30-plus years. He was the director of Salvation Army for many, many years. So he is deep in this community and has this wealth of knowledge and relationship. Lewis is one of our most faithful volunteers. He comes every week and he helps pass out the mail and he knows people by name. And there's something so powerful about being called by your name. And so when you walk in, it's not just, oh, here you go, random person, but here you are, Jojo, or here you are, Terry, right? And so Lewis is really gifted in like truly seeing people and meeting them where they are. Krista is our administrator and she is just on fire for justice and advocacy, and she uses her feisty spirit to lead the charge and just hold the world accountable, I would say. I mean, and I don't think that's exaggerating. She just speaks truth to power and really just uses her position and her privilege to love our neighbors. And Tracy, I mean, you've met her now, and she's incredible, and Lee is so gifted with just hearing people's stories. And Mark is the one who drives, and so he makes the runs back and forth to all of the different pantries and food closets and picks up lunch for our people. And Tom is just your go-get-it guy. Whatever you need, he steps in to do it. And nobody does it because they have to. Every single person that's a part of this team is here because they genuinely want to be in relationship with our neighbors.
Well, we're about at an end here, and I want to say that everybody in our listening audience, if you don't know what I mean by sheep and goats, then I'd encourage you to do a little bit of study of that in the Bible. And those of you that want to be sheep and not goats, I want to encourage you to, in your prayer life, to add the homeless in your community onto your list. Pray for the homeless in your community and figure out a way how you can make a difference. If you're in the Winston-Salem area or you're trying to design a program to work, go to citieswithdwellings.org and look at that webpage and to pray over that webpage and that ministry. Find a way to be Christ in your community. Your small group, your Sunday school class, there are things that you can gather together and take to the whatever organizations working with homeless in your community. And if nothing else, go and look at a way to make a $5 donation. Find a name on there that you can pray about. Think about the folks that need you and need Christ, and realize that your shoulders are Christ's shoulders. Your hands are Christ's hands. We've got a responsibility to make a difference in our communities. We thank you for tuning in. Please pray for this station and keep Robbie in your prayers. Thank you so much for your time today.
This is the Truth Network.